concur. But I'm going to work to see that we have them all on the same, all of them agreed and all of them on the same program.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yield for a question, please.
Yes, sir, I yield.
Senator, my apologies that I've tried to follow your discussion here, and what I gathered is that there are some changes that the Dental Association would like to make that you have not yet made on the bill.
Right. Because they have not had an opportunity to get with the Board of Dental Examiners. See, they didn't. The Executive Board didn't meet until this weekend.
Yeah.
They met this weekend in, I believe, in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And so what I want to do, and I've committed to everybody that we'll work with them in this regard, and we will. I want to go ahead and move the bill through today, the Senate bill, over to the House, let the Dental Association get with the Board of Dental Examiners about its changes. And I agree, frankly, I agree with that change, particularly about prior written consent of the patient.
Yeah.
The important thing is for the dentist to have made the evaluation of the need and then have directed what the dental hygienist will do.
Okay.
So I agree with the Dental Association on that. And then okay. They had a couple of other changes. One of them is that instead of having seen them within a year, they would have had to seen them in 6 months, which mandates a six-month exam. Yeah. That's something that the Board of Dental Examiners knows more about than I do.
Yeah.
I want the Board of Dental Examiners to make that call because they know much more about the practice of it than I do.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
So I'm going to get them together with the House author, and we're going to work it out. With those that work out those additional changes to everybody's satisfaction.
Thank you. Members, the chair has a noted distinguished visitor has joined us, and I'd like to recognize at this time the Honorable Harley Wilson, Congressman from Lufkin.
Bravo.
Congressman Wilson.
Thank you. Bravo.
Lufkin. Question now occurs on the suspension of the Senate's due order of business rule to take up and consider on third reading Senate Bill 300. Is there objection? Chair hearing none, the rules are suspended. Question now, or chair lays out Senate Bill 300 on third reading.
Senate Bill 300 relating to certain duties that may be exercised by a dental hygienist.
Question now occurs on final passage of Senate Bill 300. All in favor vote aye. All opposed nays. Your name is called. Secretary, please call the roll.
Armbrister, Barrientos, Bivens, Brooks, Brown, Caperton, Carriker, Dixon, Edwards, Glasgow, Green, Haley, Harris, Henderson, Johnson, Cryer, Leadham, Lyon, McFarland, Monford, Parker, Palmer, Ratliff, Santia, Stabens, Sims, Tejeda, Truon, Uribe, Washington, Whitmire, Zaffarini.
There being 30 ayes and one no, Senate Bill 300 is finally passed.
Thank you, Mr.
The
President.
Senator from El Paso, Senator Santia Esteban on House amendments to Senate Bill 489.
Yes, Mr. President, I move that the Senate not concur on the House amendments to Senate Bill 489, which is the recreation of the Texas Department of Agriculture, and request the appointment of a conference committee.
You've heard the motion. Is there objection to the appointment of a conference committee on Senate Bill 489? There is objection. Secretary, please call the roll.
Armbrister, Barrientos, Bivens, Brooks. Appoint a conference committee. Brown, Caperton, Carriker, Dixon, okay. Dixon, Edwards, appoint a conference committee. Glasgow, Green, Haley, Harris, Henderson, Johnson, Cryer, Leadham, Lyon, Lyon, McFarland, Monford, Parker, Palmer, Ratliff, Santius Davin, Sims, Tejeda, Truon, Uribe, Washington, Whitmire, Zaffarini.
Being 17 ayes and 8 noes, the motion prevails. Any motions to instruct the conferees? Chair hearing none, lays out and points the following conferees. Secretary, read the names.
Conference Committee on Senate Bill 489, Santius Davin, Chairman Lyon, Uribe, Carriker, and Sims.
Senator from Tarrant. The Senator from Tarrant. Senator Palmer on SGR 60.
Mr. President, I move to suspend the rules in order to take up Senate Joint Resolution number 60 out of the regular order. This is one of two constitutional amendments that came out of the interim task force on affordable housing that we passed the authorizing legislation for on Friday. This particular amendment would provide bond funds for impoverished counties, and it is directed toward the same Colonius problem that Senate Bill number 2 was directed toward. In fact, if Senate Bill number 2 proceeds through the House, then the House sponsor of this SJR will not move on the SJR. It's really sort of a backup position that the folks who have been supporting Senate Bill 2 have asked me to go ahead and pass out of the Senate, but it may be unnecessary as a result of the action in the House on SB 2. I'd move to suspend the rules.
You've heard the explanation. Is there objection to suspension of the Senate's due order of business rules? Take up and consider Senate Joint Resolution 60. Chair hearing none, the rules are suspended. Chair lays out on third reading Senate Joint Resolution. On second reading, Senate Joint Resolution 60.
SJR 60, amending the Constitution to provide for the issuance of general obligation bonds.
Question now occurs on passage to third reading, Senate Joint Resolution 60. All in favor say aye.
Got it. Record vote.
Third. Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 60 is passed third reading. Senator from Tarrant moves to suspend the constitutional rule requiring bills be read on three several days. All in favor vote aye. All opposed nay. As your name is called, Secretary, call the roll.
Armbrister, Badientos, Bivens, Brooks, Brown, Caperton, Carriker, Dixon, Edwards, Glasgow, Green, Haley, Harris, Henderson, Johnson, Cryer, Leadham, Lyon, McFarland, Monford, Parker, Palmer, Ratliff, Santius Davin, Sims, Tejeda, Truon, Uribe, Washington, Whitmire, Zaffarini,
There being 30 ayes and 1 nay, constitutional rule is suspended. Question now occurs on final passage, Senate Joint Resolution 60. All in favor, vote aye as your name is called. All opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Armbrister, Badientos, Bivens, Brooks, Brown, Caperton, Carriker, Dixon, Edwards, Glasgow, Green, Haley.
There being 31 ayes and no nays, Senate Joint Resolution 60 is finally passed. The Senator from Bexar.
Mr. President, members, I'd like to introduce a group of students from St. Luke's Catholic School from San Antonio. They're up in the gallery up here. If they will please stand, they are accompanied by their teacher, Bob Lewis. Please help me in welcoming the class from St. Luke's Catholic School.
The Senator from Nueces, Senator Truon. The following resolution.
Senate Resolution 126. Whereas the Senate of the State of Texas takes great pleasure in congratulating Mr. William Dudley Johnson on the occasion of his 83rd birthday, and whereas this fine Texas gentleman is well known as a man of highest principles and innate integrity.
Mr. President.
Senator.
Mr. President, members, earlier today I was expecting my dear friend William D. Johnston to have been here during the earlier part of our session. Unfortunately, coming from Houston, sometimes people can't get here exactly at the time, many times that we're beginning to be in session. But I want you to know that not too long ago, we celebrated the 83rd birthday of a great friend of mine and of this state of Texas, who devoted his life to making sure that our state of Texas would grow and prosper by his work in the insurance business. Mr. W.D. Johnston lived in Corpus Christi, and members, if you will excuse me, 30 years ago, when a young man graduated from college, Mr. W.D. Johnston hired this young man in the insurance business. And I was young at that time, and it's been 30 years now, and I owe Mr. Johnston the opportunity he gave me 30 years ago to go into the insurance business. And I heard earlier that he was going to celebrate his 83rd birthday. And even though he now lives in Houston, we still communicate. And I want you to join with me, members, in congratulating Mr. W.D. Johnston, who spent 40 years with the American National Insurance Company and did such a terrific job that his Corpus Christi district, number one, was one of the leading districts in the United States. When we congratulate Mr. Johnston, we are congratulating the pioneers of business and industry in our state of Texas, who have done so much to make our state of Texas a better place in which to live. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you Mr. W.D. Johnston, for whom Senate Resolution 126 was passed on February 15th, 1989, in celebration of his 83rd birthday. Will you join with me in congratulating Mr. W.D. Johnston, who is here with me, my dear friend.
Following messages from the governor.
To the Senate of the 71st Legislature, regular session, I ask the advice, consent, and confirmation of the Senate with respect to the following appointments: to be a member of the Brazos River Authority Board of Directors, Charles J. Farrar of Dublin; to be a member of the Central Colorado River Authority Board of Directors, Zeno Hemphill of Coleman, Cloyce M. Huckabee of Coleman; to be a member of the Texas Woman's University Board of Regents, Chris Ann Vocalpohl of Galveston. Respectfully submitted, William P. Clements, Jr., Governor of Texas, referred to the Committee on Nominations.
The Senator from Dallas, Senator Edwards.
Mr. President, members, I'd like to move we suspend the regular order of business in order to take up and consider the committee substitute to Senate Joint Resolution 74. Members, this is the second half of a package that Senator Henderson and I have been working on this session to try to make college education more affordable for our students. This particular measure would allow $75 million in general obligation bonds to be floated, if approved by the state of Texas, be floated to be used for college loans. Members, the fact is that the last obligations open to the coordinating board for student loans under the Henson-Hazelwood Act the last funds are about to be utilized and put into the market within the next few months. With that authorization having been absolutely depleted, we basically would not have additional funds for college loans under this program. So this measure does two things, and it is a constitutional amendment. One, it allows the $75 million in additional authorization for the coordinating board to use. And secondly, it will set up a college saver bond program so that the parents of children, the employers of families with children, could actually buy zero coupon bonds for an investment, for a nest egg, for the affordability of their college education.
Will the Senator yield?
Be glad to, Senator, and want to thank you for your support and your efforts in this joint effort, along with Senator Palmer and Senator Parker, who worked with us on this.
Well, Senator, I think this is an excellent proposal, and as I understand it, it's part of our a two-pronged approach that we've taken to hopefully creating another tool for middle and lower-income people to continue to be able to send their children to school in a time of rising educational costs. And I think you'll recall from the testimony we've heard that the cost of education has gone up several hundred percent over the last 10 or 15 years, whereas people's incomes have gone up about 70% in general.
Right.
And as I further understand it, the other approach that we took was to take existing bonds of other
That's
agencies
correct.
And allow them to issue those in denominations and in a manner in which people would buy these as a nest egg to send their kids to school. But it doesn't make those agencies do that, does
That's
it?
That's right. That's correct.
And this is more of a, it's another approach. It's kind of a, it's a direct approach to it. It's a pilot project. And as I understand the testimony in committee, and correct me if I'm wrong, our loan guarantee program that we've had for students in this state, the Henson-Hazelwood program, was created when, Senator? I can't quite, 20 years ago?
Senator, I don't know when it was created, but we've had over 170,000 students participate in the program since 1966.
Right, 170,000 students and that probably couldn't have gone to school mm-hmm. but for the opportunity to get a loan guarantee or a loan from the state's credit, essentially, or the credit of the people of this state. And I think, Senator, that I did not know until you brought it to my attention that we're issuing the last of those bonds, and that program will essentially won't have anything else to issue.
That's right.
Unless we create a new issue. And I think this is an excellent approach, and commend you for your work on it.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your sponsorship of this package, Senator. And members, let me just say one last thing. I think this is of interest as we vote on this. A child born this year will have to pay $231,000 for a four-year degree from a private university when that child is ready to go to college. A child born today that will go to a public university in Texas will have to pay $92,851 if inflation costs for college education continue to go up as they're going up now. So I think this is a very important issue we need to deal with, and I'd like to move we suspend all regular order of business in order to take up and consider this measure.
Is there objection to consideration of the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 74? Chair hears none. SJR 74 is laid out. Secretary, read the caption.
Senate Joint Resolution 74, amending the Constitution to provide for the issuance of general obligation bonds by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board.
All in favor of engrossment say aye. Those opposed,
aye.
No. The ayes have it. SJR 74 is engrossed. The Senator from Dallas moves to suspend the three-day rule. Secretary, call the roll. 30 ayes and one no. The rule is suspended. Chair lays out SJR 74 on third reading and final passage. Secretary, read the caption.
Committee to substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 74, providing for the issuance of revenue bonds.
Questions on final passage? Secretary, call the roll.
Armbrister, Barrientos, Bivens, Brooks, Brown, Caperton, Carriker, Dixon, Edwards, Glasgow, Green, Haley, Harris, Henderson, Johnson, Cryer, Leadham, Lyon, McFarland, Monford, Parker, Palmer, Ratliff, Santius, Davins, Sims, Tejeda, Truon, Uribe, Washington, Whitmire, Zaffarini.
31 ayes and no noes. SGR 74 is finally passed. The Senator from Dallas.
Members, I move we suspend the regular order of business in order to take up and consider committee substitute to Senate Bill 1762. Members, this is the statute legislation carrying out the constitutional amendment which we just passed. I'd like to move suspension of regular order of business.
Is there objection to consideration of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 1762? Chair hears none. The bill is laid out and gross. The rule suspended 30-1, passed with 31 ayes and no noes. The Senator from Harris, Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I move we suspend the regular order of business and take up and consider Senate Bill 1534. Senate Bill 1534 is a State Board of Insurance recommended bill that tries to conform the insurance agents, all the varying insurance agents' licensing, whether it be title, property, and casualty, and the original bill included bail bonds. There's an amendment that I have and Senator Johnson has that will remove the double licensing provision for bail bonds. But what this would do is bring some uniformity to the licensing of insurance agents in the state of Texas. Move we suspend the regular order.
Mr. President, will the Senator yield?
I yield, Senor. Senor.
Senator Green, this is about insurance agents.
That's correct.
It applies statewide?
Yes.
Does it apply to insurance men and women in Corpus Christi?
That's correct. Yeah, we got
that. Have you checked with Senator Truon on this bill?
No, we haven't checked with Senator Truon.
It doesn't put his license in danger?
No, it doesn't.
Can I add an amendment to do that? Thank you.
I'd like to discuss it. I don't think it'd be acceptable. Move we suspend the regular order of business.
Is there objection to consideration of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 1534? Chair hears none. The bill is laid out and gross. The rule suspended 30-1. Following amendment.
Floor Amendment 1 by Johnson.
The Senator from Dallas.
Mr. President and members, this amendment simply removes some of the language that addressed the bail bonds, bondsman, and it's acceptable to the author. I would move its adoption.
The Senator from Dallas.
Mr. President, at this section, there's bail bond agents are dual licensed both in the county and through the state, and we'll have to take those folks on in a separate piece of legislation, so the amendment's acceptable.
Is there objection to adoption of the amendment? Chair hears none. The amendment's adopted. All in favor of engrossment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 1534 is engrossed. The Senator from Harris moves to suspend the three-day rule. Secretary call the roll. 30 ayes and one no. The rule is suspended. Chair lays out Senate Bill 1534 on third reading and final passage. Secretary, read the caption.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 1534.
All in favor of final passage say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 1534 is finally passed. The Senator from Travis.
Mr. President, members, I move to suspend all necessary rules to take up and consider Senate Bill 1480. Members, Senate Bill 1480 deals with something that is very, very important to our state employees, and that is child care. Right now, the increase in single-parent families and in which both families work has had a tremendous impact on the character of the workplace. 38 states now provide are in the process of providing some type of child care support for their employees. The most common form of assistance is on-site or near-site care. What this bill does, members, is addresses the lack of accessible, affordable, quality daycare facilities in this area. It will set up a systematic approach for establishing the daycare facility with the creation of the Child Care Development Board. That would include the governor, lieutenant governor, AG, treasurer, comptroller, and land commissioner. and the board is directed to provide the Director of State Purchasing with specifics for the site and improvements of the site, the name of the child care provider, which must comply with, of course, DHS regulations, procedures for applying to the daycare, and these directives will be met with the advice of a child care advisory committee composed of representatives of the United Way, the Texas Association for the Education of Young Children, the Corporate Child Development Fund, child care providers, and a classified state employee who has at least one child in a child care facility. Help the state employees. Mr. President, I move to suspend the rules.
Is there objection to consideration of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 1480? Chair, here's none. The bill is laid out and engrossed. The rule suspended 30-1, and the bill is finally passed by a voice vote. The Senator from Victoria.
Mr. President, members, I'd move to suspend all necessary rules, take up and consider Senate Bill 1813. Member, Senate Bill 1813 is a bill that provides additional bonding authority for the state of Texas for the purpose of purchasing and or construction of buildings to address state agency space needs. Specifically, it would permit the issuance of bonds totaling $73.5 million, of which $43.5 million would be used for renovation of an office building here in Travis County, $10 million would be in Tarrant County, and $20 million would be in Harris County.
Is there objection to consideration of Senate Bill 1813? Chair hears none, lays out Senate Bill 1813 on second reading. Secretary, read the caption.
Senate Bill 1813 relating to purchase of buildings by the state.
Following amendment.
Committee Amendment 1.
The Senator from Victoria.
Committee Amendment 1.
The amendment that was added on in committee changes the existing bill so that the Legislative Budget Board would remain the body that would approve any purchases under the Act.
Is there objection? Chair hears none. The amendment's adopted. All in favor of engrossment say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 1813 is engrossed. Senator from Victoria moves to suspend the three-day rule. 30 ayes and one no. The rule is suspended. Chair lays out Senate Bill 1813 on third reading and final passage. Secretary, read the caption.
Senate Bill 1813 relating to state-owned buildings.
Being 31 ayes and no noes, Senate Bill 1813 is finally passed. The Senator from Dallas, Senator Leadham.
Mr. President, members, I ask unanimous consent to suspend all appropriate rules and take up out of its regular order Senate Bill 1791. Currently, there is no statutory authority in the State Department of Highways and Public Transportation to expedite the repairs of thoroughfares, bridges, and associated facilities when damaged by natural or man-made disasters. The purpose of this bill would allow the State Highway Department to adopt rules to define procedures to be utilized in a certified emergency, to enter into a contract to repair the damage to the thoroughfares post-haste. I move we suspend all appropriate rules.
Is there objection to consideration of Senate Bill 1791? Chair hears none. The bill is laid out and engrossed. The rule suspended 30-1 and finally passed 31-0. The Senator from Harris, Senator Henderson.
Thank you.
Mr. President and members, I would move to suspend all necessary rules to take up and to consider Senate Bill 748. Mr. President and members, Senate Bill 748 amends the part of the criminal code having to do with the abandonment of a child. Currently, the code requires the prosecution to show, before a conviction can be made, that there was no intent to return for the child. What this does is take out that requirement and simply have the statute where it reads that a person who abandons a child without reasonably believing that the proper care is left of the child violates the code, and it distinguishes that offense as a Class A misdemeanor and changes the offense of not with intent not to return to a third-degree felony.
Is there objection to consideration of Senate Bill 748? Chair hears none. The bill is laid out and engrossed. The rule suspended 30-1 and bill finally passed on a non-record vote. The Senator from Titus. The Senator from Harris, Senator Brooks.
Mr. President, I'd like to move to suspend the regular order in order to take up the committee's substitute for Senate Bill 959. Members, this is the Omnibus AIDS Bill. We have worked carefully with all the Senate staffs. We had a staff briefing last Friday in which the legislative staffs of all senators were invited to participate. We have, I believe, six amendments being offered. Well, one corrective amendment that's nothing but just a typographical error correction. And then five, I believe, amendments by other senators having to do with specific parts of the bill. Members, our approach in the Senate has been and continues to be a realistic approach to this perhaps most major health care issue facing our state, the United States, and the whole world. Today, we have recorded in Texas as of May 5th of this month, we have 6,547 diagnosed AIDS cases in Texas. We have so far recorded 4,008 deaths to AIDS in Texas. The projected AIDS cases at the end of 1991, at the end of the 1991 period, would be anticipated at about 30,000 compared to the 6,500 we have this month. Projected AIDS cases at the end of the following year are projected to be about 45,000 compared to the 6,547 this month. The AIDS statistics do not measure the full impact of the epidemic. They only indicate where people are living when they were diagnosed. They do not represent the actual number or distribution of AIDS cases in a locality. They do not include people with HIV-related illnesses, which do not meet the clinical diagnosis of AIDS. These Texans often have health, financial, and social support needs that are just as great as those of people who have been diagnosed positive for AIDS. AIDS statistics also give a false impression that the extent of the HIV infection in certain populations. Of the total number of HIV-positive newborns in a recent blind study of all Texas newborns, 15% were Hispanic, 32% were Anglo, and 48% were Black. Estimated ratio of people diagnosed with AIDS to the number of people infected with HIV is about 1 in 50. So for every person with a positive diagnosis of AIDS today, another 50 have been infected with HIV. The average lag time between HIV infection and the development of the symptoms is 5 years. Thus, the people currently being diagnosed with AIDS probably were infected in 1984. It's impossible for any of us to project what contacts, effective contacts that could have transmitted the virus were covered during that period by those people who have been positively diagnosed. Worst case scenario would be that with unabated infection rates by the end of 1991, the number of Texans infected with HIV could be as high as 1.5 million. Texas ranks fifth nationally in the number of people reported to have AIDS. Houston leads 45 states and Dallas leads 42 states in the number of people with AIDS. AIDS is not just an urban problem. More than half of Texas' 254 counties have reported cases of AIDS. Since 1986, AIDS has been the leading cause of death for men between the ages of 25 and 44 in the Houston area. In 1987, the cost of inpatient and outpatient AIDS care in Texas was $44 million. Hospital costs are expected to be at least double in 1988 when we get those figures in and increase ninefold by 1992. We're writing a bill now, an appropriations bill, for fiscal 1990, fiscal 1991, which will take us into the year 1992. And we have not put in so far the amount of money that most experts, both in medicine and in other areas of expertise, project we will need for this next biennium. In fact, the Senate, you may recall, put in about $34 million in its bill, Senate Bill 222. The House had somewhere in excess of $20 million. And so far, the tentative adoption by the Conference Committee has been somewhere in the neighborhood of 18.2 or 18.3 million for the next 2 years. If we see a very rapid escalation in the number of AIDS diagnoses in this next biennium, we will not have enough money there possibly to cover it. And bear in mind that $18.3 million I'm talking to you about does not have a penny in it for research. It has education, it has treatment, it has purchase of medications, but it does not have a nickel for research. Research is the area in which we have the greatest hope for breakthroughs to get immunization or to get some potential for a treatment or drug to reverse the ravages of AIDS or to stop its spread. Medical research in Texas will continue to be handled in this way. Our medical schools and research centers, probably in consortium with several of the medical schools and teaching hospitals, perhaps working together, we will continue to apply for federal grants and whatever private foundation grants might be available. Mostly we're going to rely on federal funds, in my view, for our research. And we will join other researchers throughout the world to try to get some breakthroughs on this dread disease that is really the scourge of humanity on the face of the earth today, the worst raging epidemic we have in the healthcare field. We believe that in the area of uncompensated care, we may take the largest hit. In 1987, Texas hospitals had a daily net loss of $137 per AIDS patient. $137 a day, net loss, did not even recover the cost for caring for that patient. More than twice that for general medical surgical patients. The net loss for outpatient AIDS care was even higher. Payments covered only 14% of the cost. Now in Texas, we're trying to do some things. We're trying to develop some effective hospice care. We're trying to get some reasonable cost containment devices in place. We're trying to expand Medicaid to at least cover the AIDS babies. We're also trying to expand our CIDC for the chronically ill and disabled children to at least cover the AIDS babies. Right now, CIDC covers AIDS babies who get AIDS from blood transfusions, but does not cover AIDS babies born with AIDS, newborns with AIDS. We have changed that in our bill pattern. We've changed it in the law, and I believe that in this next biennium we will be able to cover the AIDS babies effectively, regardless of the source of infection. This bill we have worked on literally for every day the legislature's been in session, and then there was approximately 3 years' work went into this legislation prior to the start of this session. The appointment of the AIDS Task Force in Texas was one of the most significant efforts made in any state in the country. We have present on the podium today the distinguished chair of that effort, and she just did an unbelievably successful amount of work getting all of the organizations together, getting input from the criminal justice system, from the medical profession, from all of the related social services that come to bear on any chronic illness in this country, and particularly in our state. The task force came forward with a very, very realistic and reasonable report and list of recommendations. Most of those recommendations are embodied in Senate Bill 959. In House Committee, you've probably read in the media that the House Committee has taken a criminal justice approach to this health care issue, And they don't do much but talk about criminal justice. As far as I can see in the reports, now I've not seen the bill as it came out of committee yet, although my staff has, and they pretty well confirm my thoughts about it. Just taking a criminal justice approach and not doing anything at all about prevention and the health care and the treatment and the drug, furnishing the medications and drugs necessary to control or to try to get some breakthroughs on the treatment and in the drug area is really not going to be anywhere near an appropriate or adequate approach. We're going to have to look at it from the healthcare side. We're going to have to look at it realistically as the premier healthcare issue for us and for the whole nation. Some of the criminal justice ideas are valid and deserve consideration. Some are embodied even in our bill. Intentional transmission of AIDS, there's no possible excuse in the world for intentional transmission of AIDS. Those who knowingly transmit, knowing they are carriers and transmit that through any way, either by use of needles, by sexual activities, or whatever purpose, there's no excuse for that whatsoever, and it is it should be dealt with effectively in the criminal justice system. But for the people of all backgrounds, all ethnic backgrounds, both male and female, and particularly, of course, the babies who are infected, we have to make a humane response. We cannot say, well, you're a drug user, we're not going to give you any treatment. You're a gay or a lesbian, we're not going to give you any treatment. If we do that, we not only close our door, close our eyes to reality, and close the door to opportunity to deal with it effectively, we also pass a death sentence on many, many others who are neither gay nor drug users, who will be potentially infected in other ways through either through the blood supply or in some other way. This is a very critical bill for Texas, in my view. It is kind of a crossroads in this particular item. Last year, we had in the 87 appropriations bill for the current biennium, we had about $4.7 million in state money. Primarily, it went to education. It went to trying to foster programs for prevention and for public information, for information through public schools and colleges, information through organizations that have contact with the community at large and all segments of the community at large. That was totally insufficient to do anything about treatment. We didn't do anything about treatment at all. We managed to match and get some federal money through the health department to do a little bit, but not nearly what was sufficient or badly needed. This time we hope that with a good statute that is realistic and reasonable and appropriate, we will be able then to go forward with a decent appropriation, hopefully more than we currently have agreed in the conference committee, and make a very significant impact on this dread disease and what future devastation it might hold for us and for all of our people. I respectfully move to suspend the
resolution. President, Senator, yield.
Yes, sir, I would yield.
Senator, you certainly are to be commended for the hours and hours and the work that's gone into a bill. I think the populace expects this legislature to do something on this probably the most major overall issue that we could face until some cure or preventive measures found. Not to get embroiled in a discussion between the two houses on approaches to do it, my question to you would be, as I understand this bill, it's basically creates a centralization of education and dissemination of information and coordinating of all those efforts so people can have a better understanding of the hazards involved and whatever that can perpetuate, as well as some recognition for treatment in extreme cases and so forth, to the extent there's monies to go around. The fact you've pointed out it's almost gone up 400%, and it's just this 2 years of the money the state's putting into it, and I think it's safe to say that if we're here 2 years from now, it could well be another multiple larger unless something's happened.
Will it be your understanding as this group develops more information and more intelligence that perhaps in the rulemaking authority given to the health department that we might at some time ever approach a quarantine sort of system as we would if it was a typhus or some other contagious disease so that those that were finally identified, I realize that criminal justice system might say, all right, if you knowingly do it, but there's no one that's diagnosed and put out and say this fellow, whereas with most communicable diseases, there is a reporting back in, and at that point, the person diagnosed with a communicable disease is brought into some sort of a quarantine until he's cured or otherwise. And do you see that next 2 or 4 years that might be
there is
possibility of the health department realizing that there's a quarantine time at some point once someone is totally diagnosed that they then must be quarantined?
There has been a very strong debate about that, Senator Leadham, for at least the last 3 or 4 years. I've participated in National Conference of State Legislature forums where we brought people in from the Center for Disease at Atlanta and expert medical researchers from all over the world. It is a very raging debate about what kind of quarantine would be appropriate, when would you institute such a quarantine, what kind of discriminatory legal problems would be involved in such a quarantine. And frankly, what I have, and I'm only going to give you my response, my opinion, after listening to an awful lot of people on this subject, Senator. I think what probably will really happen, and more realistically, probably should happen, is that we'll probably get to a point where there won't be quarantine as such, nor isolation as such, as far as a legal mechanism. But in effect, we will be moving to treatment centers and hospices.